Good morning. Welcome to the Wednesday edition, live from the Ron Scott Communication Center. This is From the Stand. And on this morning's show, Mark Hansen from the Air Care Alliance helps us salute those who fly for the public good. Author and photographer John Slemp will talk about his book, Bomber Boys, which deals with World War II flight jacket art, and EAA's Jim Busha will talk about the story of Rosie the Rocketer. But right now, one of the original Tuskegee Airmen, Lieutenant Colonel James Harvey, talks to us about being here at AirVenture. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Well, I have a serious hearing problem, and I did not get that.
Well, I just said welcome back to the show, and we're so pleased to have you here.
Okay, thank you. It's good to be here.
Good. You said you got here on Monday from you live in the Denver area, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So have you seen much of the show so far, or have you just been
I haven't seen any of the show. I've been signing pamphlets.
Well, very good. Well, everybody's coming to see you, right?
What was that?
Everyone's coming to see you anyway, right?
I'm not getting that either. Oh, okay. I have a serious hearing problem.
Yeah, that's all right.
And it's not fun, believe me.
Yeah. Well, you are, you just told me you turned 100 years old.
Yes.
Just a couple weeks ago.
Right.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And what does it feel like to be 100?
What was it? What?
What does it feel like to be 100?
Same as 98, 97, or what have you.
Well, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got involved with the Tuskegee Airmen.
Okay, when I was 10 years old, I was standing in my yard. I lived out in the country and with a house away from the house, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And I was standing in my yard and I heard this noise overhead. And I looked up. It was a flight of P-40s flying in formation. And I said, I'd like to do that one day. And that was it. Here I am.
Here you are. And where did you do your flight training, and what kind of airplanes
did you fly? Tuskegee. Yeah. Everything we did, it was at Tuskegee, primary, yeah. Basic, and advance. They built a new airfield for us to get our basic and advance. But, everything was right there in Tuskegee.
Which airplanes did you fly in flight training?
In flight training, I flew the PT-19, and in basic, I flew the BT-13, Vibrator. Mm-hmm. And then in advance, I flew the AT-6.
And you were also qualified in the Mustang and the P-47?
Yeah, the Mustang, the P-47, F-80, F-86, F-89, F-94, and F-102.
just a couple. You had a long career in the Air Force, more than 20 years, right?
20 years, right, in a few months.
There
yes.
you go.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the Top Gun competition that you and your teammates won back in the late 40s.
Yes. In January of 1949, the Chief of Staff of the Air Force sent out a directive to all the fighter groups in the United States that they were to have gunnery training between each fighter group at each base, and each base plus the pilots would have competition between each other in all the group, all the squadrons. And the weapons meet was supposed to begin in May of 49. And the 332nd, which is us, we had scores. So based on our scores, Captain Temple of the 300th, First Lieutenant Harry Stewart of the 100th, myself of the 99th, were chosen as primary members, and First Lieutenant Halbert Alexander of the 99th as an alternate pilot. In case one of us couldn't fly, then he would fill in. Well, we had scores because we had been to Eglin 7 a month prior. So based on our scores, those three, Temple, Stewart, and myself, were chosen as primary members.
Good, and we're talking with Lieutenant Colonel James Harvey. What was that competition like when you were there in 1949? What were the
different
areas
the
of competition? Yes, the events. Thank you.
Okay. pardon me. The events were aerial gunnery at 20,000 feet, aerial gunnery at 12,000 feet, dive bombing, skip bombing, rocket firing, and panel strafing. Those events.
And how did you and your teammates score on all those?
What was that?
How did you and your teammates, how well did you score on those events?
Well, in aerial gunnery at 20,000 feet, we were in there, and gunnery at 12,000 feet, we were in there. Then we went to dive bombing. And dive bombing, you come over your target about 10,000 feet, roll over, drop straight down, line up on the target, release your bombs, and pull out by 2,000 feet, hopefully. No one did good that day, no one. And the next series, I was skip bombing, let's see. Aerial gunnery, dive bombing. Then we had skip bombing.
Okay.
And skip bombing, you come in very low to the ground. You're so low that when you release your bombs, they don't have a chance to nose over yet, so they hit flat and skip through the target. That's why they call it skip bombing. The next event was rocket firing. And on this, you come in at your target. It's a target similar to aerial ground gunnery. It's a target. Each of us had our own target. And we come in, fire our rockets at our target. And as far as rocketry goes, we carried two rockets per mission, each one of us. So that's six rockets per pilot. And Captain Temple had six for six.
Wow.
Stewart had five for six, and I had five for six. And on the skip bombing, Temple had six for six. Stewart had six for six. I had six for six. Now, the next event was panel strafing. On panel strafing, they have this target set up on the ground about a 60-degree angle. And we come in on a 30-degree angle and fire at the target. We did all right. In fact, everyone did all right on this one. But that one was the deciding factor as to who won the individual trophy. And up until this point, Captain Temple and our team was ahead. Every event that we participated in, Temple was leading. But they figured they had to get something out of this. Anyway, they took the panel strafing. They took the panel strafing award. So, however, we won the meet.
Yes.
And that was in May of 1949. 46 years later, in 95, we find out, meaning the 332nd, that the winner of the 49 weapons meet was listed as unknown in the record books. I said, no, this isn't right. This isn't right. So I started a personal crusade to get that changed. That was May of 1949. January of 2022, we finally get our recognition almost 73 years later. But we got it.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
It's just too bad the other people, other members of the team couldn't be around to realize that. Anyway, but we're a closed subject now.
There you go. But you're here to represent them. And I also read you had credited your ground crew you credited your ground crew very much for that victory as well, because they worked all night to keep your airplanes ready. So when you had to go out and fly the next day, they were good to go.
You know
what? With your ground crew.
You know what?
What?
I didn't get that. Oh. I'm serious here.
It's okay. So I was reading an article about you, and you had a lot of credit to your ground crew for helping keep those airplanes ready for the competition.
Yes, we had a very good ground crew. We had the best in the Army Air Corps.
Yeah.
And the Air Force gives out awards every year, and they go out and they check the maintenance crews at the different bases. We always came in first.
Very good.
Same thing in the Air Force. We became the Air Force. We're number one. Now, our group, pardon me, our airmen that went through Chinook, mechanic school, communications, all the systems of an aircraft, they learn at Chinook. Their scores were so high on their exams that they've never been equaled.
Wow. Lieutenant Colonel Harvey, we are so happy that you're here again at AirVenture. Enjoy the show, and I hope you get to see some of the show and sign lots of autographs for us. And then come back next year, okay?
Will do. Thank you.
This is EIA Radio.